All right, welcome everybody to Radicast,
hey.
Impact Music Studios' bi-weekly podcast for everything worship and everything musical. I am Isaac.
I'm Mika.
And we're your hosts for this podcast. We're going to be talking about music, sound design, leadership, and anything else that comes to mind as we
have
just...
opinion.
Yeah, that anything we have an opinion on. For this week, we're going to be talking about music production from a beginner's standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, we're going to be talking about something that Mika is going to be posting on our website.
Yep.
But first, before we get into that, just so you listeners know, before we even kind of got into the podcast recording, Mika and I were already talking about our tastes in music.
Yes.
And everything like that. So we're just going to be chatting about that for a little bit because I thought that was a really interesting conversation.
Yeah.
And so I think we started out with, was it Mozart?
Yeah, Beethoven.
Okay, well, I don't remember what you were talking about, though.
You were talking about, like, I was talking about Mozart actually make you smarter. You were talking about classical music, actually.
Yeah, that's right.
If you, no, remember?
Jazz. Yeah, we were talking about jazz music.
First. And then you say listen to jazz will make people smart.
So my, so for our listeners, my brother had sent me this article on how jazz music, it makes you smarter or it's correlated with people who are smarter, which
mm-hmm.
is interesting. And I was mentioning it to Mika, and then I mentioned how I think both classical music and jazz music are correlated with
that
as well.
Yes, they are very correlated.
Yeah. So then you started talking
about... actually there was also an article specifically talking about Mozart's music that also make people really like... It kind of help people to work on brain more.
Yeah.
So in other words, it kind of trigger like a person's becoming more smart when you listen to Mozart's music.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What was it that you said? We started listening to some of the symphonies that
mm-hmm.
Mozart did. What was it that triggered that for you? Like, what was it because like you were in school and you just remembered this really good Mozart symphony that you wanted to you wanted me to hear?
I would just want to share that certain his music are very. It's based on very classical, because he was at classical era, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
So mainly it's like you say, it's very simple, also very smart in his arrangement.
Yeah.
And then you were talking about actually his work are not your taste, and I'm what?
So for our listeners who don't know. Both Mika and I listen to quite a lot of music and from quite a lot of different genres. And so I've listened to classical music for most of my life, I think, at least ever since probably the age of 7 when I started to play classical music. But I've never liked the classical era of classical music. I've never liked Baroque. I really didn't like Baroque because that was all about keep it simple, really, really simple. Classical kind of branched out from that and started doing more with that concept.
Yeah.
But I've never liked Mozart. And so we were listening, was it D Symphony in D Major?
In D Major.
Yeah. Symphony in D Major. And I was just, we were listening to it, and I was just saying how, yeah, I'd be pretty bored listening to this. Like, you know, I just didn't like the taste.
Yeah.
And then we started talking about like the differences between the eras.
Yeah.
Of classical music.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that your favorite era was
Impressionism.
And why do you like Impressionism?
It's full of imagination.
Uh-huh.
And I think Impressionism is very vague.
Uh-huh.
But it's like it's more close to natural for me.
Yeah.
Natural sound. Natural about it's the expression of natural. Which kind of like something that I would be very drawn to, you know. I don't know why, but every time when I hear Impressionism art, I just like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know why. It creates certain impact on me when I listen to it.
Do you have any, I guess, like anything that would be similar to, like any contemporary genres? That you also like listening to, that you would like correlate with oh, I like it. This is probably similar to what impressionism is.
You mean composer or
composers, genres, whatever.
Impressionism, romantic.
Okay.
Romantic, and then like composer, like.
It doesn't have to be classical genres.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, like for now, it'll be like jazz. Jazz has a little bit of that too.
Right.
But it has to see like which, what kind of style of jazz
right.
would that be?
Yeah, because jazz has ton of different subgenres.
Yes, very,
inside.
Very different. Yeah. So, yeah, and also some of the contemporary, like Prokofiev that you were mentioning,
yeah.
And then, yeah, and there's another guy called Erik Satie.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you hear his work before.
I have not.
Erik Satie. Okay. He's very contemporary. He's like more like a very, very contemporary composer, piano composer. And then, yeah, but he do has some of that abstract and vague feel in his work.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I feel like when you were saying how impressionism makes you feel a certain way,
mm-hmm.
And it's more like natural music. That made me kind of think of ambient music,
uh-huh.
Like post-rock ambient stuff.
That's why I like ambient music a lot too.
Yeah. So cool, Mika. You have your laptop open there. What are you looking at?
So I'm looking for. So I found this list of composer like Igor Stravinsky.
Uh-huh.
In 20th century,
mm-hmm.
and then Erik Satie is also 20th century composer, okay. French composer.
Uh huh. And what was it that you liked about? Are you just looking at the list of names or?
I'm just looking for certain composer that I have listened to, and what are their common trait that caused me to have that impact?
Okay.
And then I realized a lot of them is very into, like Ravel, Debussy are very influenced by the French literature style.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I don't know why I am so into that French thing, because probably it's very romantic,
uh-huh.
not romantic. Genre, but right. like in a way that it has a lot of romantic feeling inside.
Right.
Probably that's why.
Okay.
And I felt like what you said is right. Like in terms of certain, like even now, electronic music has been really coming out more and more.
Uh-huh.
And some of the electronic music also do has that vague ambient feel
yeah.
towards the.
Yeah.
Towards the arrangement and towards the composition too.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting because electronic music today is a lot more blunt than
mm-hmm.
classical music. I think it's more blunt than classical music ever could be. Right?
Yeah.
Because in the 1600s, 1500s, you didn't have microphones to
yeah.
record a frog. You didn't have
no.
you know these different tools to
mm-hmm.
get the exact sound or exact sample of whatever it is you're trying to imply by your music,
mm-hmm.
right? Today I can take literally a microphone and I can, if I wanted the sound of a frog or a cricket,
mm-hmm.
I can go outside and stand either next to a frog or next to a cricket or
yeah.
whatever. I can get a sound,
yeah.
get that kind of sound, and then you know use my DAW to you know EQ all the bad frequencies out of there.
That's,
and I'll just get
yeah.
the you know
yeah.
sound or whatever.
Because
right?
technology has making us becoming like we can access the maybe let me rephrase that. Is like I think technology today has becoming so easy for us to access
uh-huh.
that it really depends on our creativity now.
Yeah.
See, everybody can
That's
do that.
That's an interesting perspective. Yeah.
And I felt like in this sense, we have more freedom in terms of how you want to express yourself. there's good and bad about that. But for me, if you use it in the right way, it will be very good. It will be, it will just, it's a way of express yourself through any kind of technology. And then in our podcast, like, we, since we are emphasizing on music and production, then we really are expressing our creativity through music.
I feel, and it's, I think it's that sense that, like you said, it can kind of, if I may rephrase what you just said, it can be both a strength and a weakness, right? In the sense that our creativity is, you know, back in classical era, they didn't have those microphones, so they had to imitate the sound of a cricket with, like, a flute going really, really high and going, doing this kind of thing, right? If they wanted to, obviously, they didn't have to.
And then, you know,
to.
Because the tape at that time has limited takes to take, so
they
know they couldn't afford to. First, it's very expensive for them to record, so they know they couldn't afford to screw up a lot of times. So that brings up their skills. So at that time, like, everybody, when you can play in a recording session, you are considered, you know, very upper level of musician. So that's also another thing, because right now, like, EQ everything is so easily accessed that, you know, as I think that for me, that would be the weakness, is that you can define, sometimes you can't really define professional anymore.
Well, I mean, it, I guess professional means you earn money from it, right?
Who use better tool, you know? If you have better tool and you know how to use it, you know how to access it, then you can be good, you know, you can do this.
And I was actually referring to even before the like being able to record, right? You're talking about orchestras that would be put in, like, a recording, big massive recording studio,
or a band,
and
they would
record them in that room. I was even talking about, like, before recording technology was even available, you know, like in the Baroque era, like in Mozart's era, where they like, what Mozart must have been thinking, you know, or you know, Vivaldi must have been thinking when he was composing the Four Seasons, is how can I imitate the not just the sound, but the feeling of being in spring, being in the autumn, being in, you
how
know,
they felt
Paris, right?
And how they felt now.
And, like, that translated to their music, right? It translated into the melodies and the tensions, or in Mozart's case, the lack of tensions, but in the tensions in the music and the kind of things they were able to express. Whereas now, if I wanted to create that sound, I would just go record it, right? I don't have to. I mean, I can if I want to, but I don't have to be stuck with only 10 different kinds of instruments that I have at my disposal. I can literally, the number of the instruments that I can have is limitless. I can record anything. I can record my to be blunt, I can record my toilet if I wanted to record the E flat of a toilet flushing, right? And so for our listeners who don't know, toilets, I think, is there, the majority of them flush at the note of E flat. Something like that.
I don't know.
You didn't know that?
How?
I didn't test this. I didn't.
Okay.
There was this, like, article out there that I read, or my brother read. He told me that most toilets that are sold today, if you flush them and if you tune them, they're tune their flush, it's at the note of E flat, right? And it's it's really funny. But that's the thing, right? Even in, let's say, you know, coming into the Beatles era and into modern, you know, band type music, or even now EDM, where you're trying to, you know, kind of, if you listen to the, I don't know if you know who Martin Garrix is, but he's a DJ and a producer, and he got really big by this the song, through the song that he created called Animals, and in the song it literally sounds like animals. are roaring into the microphone. I'm not sure if he actually got animal samples or whatever, but what I am saying is that is possible.
Wow.
Right? We can go record an animal if we wanted to, and then have that kind of ambience in our music when we produce it. Right.
Yeah, like I really agree on what you said. It's like how many instruments is becoming a very big question.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, it's limited now because you can, it's unlimited.
It's unlimited now. It was limited back then.
Yeah, it was limited back then. But it was unlimited now because we can really literally turn everything that can make a sound into an instrument.
Exactly, yeah. It's really interesting, I think, to... if I were a composer back in the classical music era, classical era of classical music, I should say, if I were a composer then, I would have to think of ways to make my instruments sound the way I want them to, right? So make them sound like a particular either motif or emotion or even just a bird or something like that, right? Whereas now I can go record it. And so I think what's really interesting is the limited capacity that they had back then forced them to create music that in its limitations was amazing, right? And it was amazing because of those limitations, right? I can listen to The Four Seasons by Vivaldi if I wanted to, and I can interpret it a different way, right? Oh, a really good example, when I was young, I played this song called this piece called The Devil's Trill, and it's this extremely complicated like piece that for the violin. It's not that complicated, but it's really, really good. Like it's very technical.
It's complicated for you at that time.
It was very complicated for me at the time, and it's still actually a pretty complicated piece. You have to do a lot of things with your fingers that are very difficult to do. You have to, at the end there, you have to actually pluck and trill at the same time, which is insane. I don't remember how I did that, and so I haven't played that in a while.
Old days of practicing.
Yeah, old days of Tiger Mom, practice. and so what's really interesting is that when I was young, I interpreted that piece as a very happy piece. But when I learned the background about it, it was actually like this, supposedly the mythology behind that piece is the composer had this dream about watching Satan play the violin, and he gave his soul to Satan in order to learn the piece that Satan was playing. And so it's like, that's pretty dark. That's really, really dark. And I was like, oh man, I played that? Whoops.
While your soul is still here.
My soul is still here. it's, I can interpret it how I want, and it becomes this interaction, between me and the composer, who died a long time ago, but me and the piece, right? Whereas now, it's more like, it's not really, I don't think anymore, an interpretation of me between... like the DJ producer or the
it's really interesting that now you say that. I thought about when we play music before, especially when we were playing like more traditional music, like more traditional cultural music. We have to interpret that because that is the main thing that we have to go after.
Right.
But right now, it's like a lot of people just take an old song or take a song that already exists and turn it into something that they can that has their style. So now it's like more expressing. It's all about expressing now. You, about who you are.
It's like an identity exercise.
So it's like everybody is looking for certain identity. That's a very good word. To find it, and through certain things, it can be music, art, anything, and then we got something from the past, and then we turn into something that is ours.
Right. Yeah, and I think, like you said, I think it's both a strength and a weakness, you know, in the sense that you know, like the articles that we were talking about, it's, you know, if you listen to Mozart as a kid, supposedly, mm-hmm. I don't know how verified these studies are, but like you have there's a strong correlation between people who listen to you know, jazz or classical music, mm-hmm. and having higher IQ. I don't know how they measured it before. The articles weren't specific.
I think it's about how they test the brainwave,
right.
How your brainwave work.
Yeah.
When a person is listening to Mozart,
mm-hmm.
and while a person is listening to other classical,
okay.
music,
right.
composer, but not Mozart.
Right.
They
so,
actually
okay.
do a test on that. And that's why they conclude that, oh, actually Mozart triggered our brainwave, which make our brain work,
right.
in a steady pace,
uh-huh.
you know, and then that will actually make our brain function better,
mm-hmm.
in a way that we can focus on things,
uh-huh.
and then we get things done. We're more consistent, and then blah blah blah, you know.
Yeah.
That's how they conclude that, but I don't know
that's
how true. Is that they
right.
just did a test on that, you know?
I would love to see that study.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like we have these kinds of research studies being done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wonder what the effects of EDM are on your
brain.
I don't
know.
Right?
That's like, a very good question.
You know, death metal music. What does that do to people? You know,
yeah.
that kind of or gangster rap. You know,
mm-hmm.
you know, like these, because you know back then we didn't have. We didn't even have lyrics back
yeah.
in the classical era, right? But
mm-hmm.
when, you know, when we started having, words put to song as a popular form of music, it became kind of, like, you know, I think it shifted the culture of how we listen to music.
Yeah.
And so, I think it's an interesting, really interesting topic that we were talking about. But, yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. And do it related to the article blog that I started last week.
Okay.
It's about expressing yourself too. And I kind of like wanted to share my experience through the article that I wrote,
okay.
about even you have no training or no professional training, it doesn't matter, because now the technology has been so it's just like right there, it lays for you, and then you can just download it and then do, and then you can start,
mm-hmm.
play with it,
mm-hmm. yeah. And with that we can probably segue into our next topic, our weekly
mm-hmm.
topic segment. All right, so we've arrived at our second segment, and
yeah.
this week we're going to be talking about a blog post
mm-hmm.
that Mika is going to be putting on our website.
Yes.
It's called Starting Out as a Producer.
Yes,
and so we just thought to go over this and kind of give our listeners an overview of
mm-hmm.
what kind of where we're headed in terms
yeah.
of our music studio and how we want to help
mm-hmm.
people out.
Yeah.
And so what's this article about, Mika?
So since I've been thinking, since our podcast is more on, I know it's not just one aspect of music, like intern, but also like we were trying to reach out as many faces of things that we can do,
uh-huh.
and on music especially.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, because I thought about my start. My first experience in terms of music producer,
mm-hmm.
and I remember I was really lost because I'm not even heard of Pro Tools, not even heard of Logic,
mm-hmm.
not even heard of GarageBand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, suddenly there was this need for me to understand everything by a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely I was very confused and lost.
Mm-hmm.
But then I start like really looking to certain how, like in terms of how to start.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized it's not that hard.
Okay.
And that's why my intention for this first blog
mm-hmm.
that I wrote is to encourage people like me before that they want to start but don't really know how. And then it's just I want to share my experience and maybe give them suggestion on maybe which software to use so to start.
Yeah, I definitely remember when I was also first starting out, thinking about recording music and everything like that. I had heard of GarageBand. But
you're better than me. Better start than
me. Well, not really, because my background is kind of when I was younger, my brother had introduced to me this this program called Audacity.
Audacity.
And that program is more of a batch audio convert, like an edit. But at the time, I was like, oh, this seems like something that would be pretty cool to do. Especially since my dad's a pastor, he would always record his sermons, and so using Audacity would be something that maybe
something
I can use
you
this to
see it.
Right.
Yeah,
I can,
a lot.
Yeah. I could use this to edit music as well. And so this guy came to my church and he had a Mac. And he showed me like GarageBand and everything like that. I was like, oh, this is really cool. And so when I got my first laptop computer for going into university, I got a Mac and I opened up GarageBand and I was like, what do I do? What is this? What on earth am I supposed to do with this? Like,
you do play it. Start with GarageBand.
Yeah, I did start with GarageBand, but I didn't know what to do.
Okay.
And even GarageBand is touted as this software that's super easy to use, and just very very simplistic and helps. It's supposed to be the beginner's digital audio workstation,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
But I didn't know how to use it. But yeah, so I definitely I think this article would definitely help people in our spot, in at that point in time. And so what are you specifically writing about in this article? Because I remember as we were talking about it, we decided, hey, maybe this could be a multi-part series and everything like that. So yeah, what did you start out with?
So you know that, right? My intention is to really encourage people, right? To start. And then I always have this thought, even now, I still have the thought of if I heard something that I really like, if I hear a song that I really, really, really like, I always thought that how do they do it to make that effect work? How did they even start to have this idea of creating this song? And like, to be even more specific, it's like, what is that the producer and sound engineer actually do? What do they actually do in studio? How do they produce and how do they make everything work like that? So that's how I start. And then my, so far I just came in a conclusion that it's a matter of how familiar you are with the things that you have.
Okay. Wow.
Because you can have, like, I believe you can start making a song in GarageBand and it can be a very good demo.
Yeah.
I totally believe you now. Yeah.
If I was 5 years ago, I guess, wow, I'm old. 7 years ago now, I would have been like, no, this program is terrible. I don't even know what to do with it. So, but yeah, keep going.
Yeah. So, and then I start breaking down, and then as I go further, I break it down into like right now, like in the industry, we have a lot of software, but mostly there are like the Pro Tools for the recording, software, and then Logic some more for. You can do, because Logic and Pro Tools are master.
Okay.
So they can work for even recording everything. It just but in terms of recording a section, because Pro Tools are built to record music, to record live music.
Yeah.
So in terms of the built system, the system is more more easy to use for recording. If,、mm-hmm. if you want to do recording, then you use Pro Tools. That's how industry defines. And then where else, Logic、mm-hmm. is more for the producing.、Mm-hmm. You know, like you produce first, and then you put it into Pro Tools to, you know, to record.、Mm-hmm. So that's how I think it's just every software has its pros and cons.、
Mm-hmm.
And even、definitely. Reason also has very good sound.
Yeah, it has amazing sounds.
And Reason, you can record too, and Reason can use as slave, which、mm-hmm. you can trigger Reason、yeah. to Logic or to、mm-hmm. Pro Tools, and then you can use it as a sound source.、Mm. And they have amazing good sound,
yeah.
actually, you know. And then plus, and then also like Cubase. Cubase is more for like the Microsoft system.
Right.
And then I do know people use Cubase、mm-hmm. because they have the Microsoft、yeah. PC. No.
Yeah, there's so many software they can use now. I remember,、I think it was last week、mm-hmm. when we were just talking about this article, I mentioned to you this software called Reaper.And you actually hadn't heard of it at that point in time.
I haven't heard of that.
And I was shocked. I was like, I thought everyone has heard of Reaper. And so, yeah, there's just so many options available now. And it goes back into what we were talking about in our first segment.
And also, you talk about Reaper, right? And then, yeah, there's also this software called Ableton.
Ableton, yeah, that's right.
Yes, it's more for like live and DJ.、Mm-hmm. So it's even more easy to access.、Mm-hmm. It just depends on...What is your focus?
Mm-hmm.
So、right. if you want to be a sound engineer and mixing engineer, definitely you should go to the Pro too because,、
mm.
because you definitely need to know that. And、mm-hmm. there's a lot of function in Pro too that Logic could not do.
Right.
And there are certain things that Logic can do really easy, but Pro too needs more steps、mm-hmm. because the Pro too are a software that you need to specifically、assign.、
Mm-hmm.So what would be if, given that, you know, our target is to help people who are just starting out,、mm-hmm. whether they want to、be a professional producer or not,、if they're just starting out to record their own demos and all that kind of stuff,、what are, I guess, maybe two software、that you would definitely recommend、for a beginner to start out with?、But both on, I guess, a PC platform and a、
okay.
Mac platform.
For really the really really beginner, I think you can start with even GarageBand first if、mm-hmm. you're using the Apple. I'm not really sure about PC because I have been using Apple for so long that I don't even remember what PC looks like anymore. You know, I'm、Uh-oh. Sorry. You know, not to be, you know, biased, just how I felt. Like I really somehow don't even remember what PC、yeah. looks like anymore. The reason why I say GarageBand is because you can start really, you can get into it really fast、okay. using GarageBand. And at that time, because every DAW, the function is the same. It just, you need、mm-hmm. to find, oh, where is to create track in this DAW.
Yeah.
Every DAW has different place、mm-hmm. where you need to do certain function and then you just need to find it. ButThe concept is the same. So、mm-hmm. once you understand this basic concept, you can just apply to every DAW.、
Mm.
And then you can, after that, you can really get into it. So by using Logic,、
mm-hmm.
Logic is, you know, it's very funny. Actually, I'm a Pro Tools person.、
Uh-huh.
So after I work with you for a certain period of time, and then I realized, oh my God, Logic is really...
Yeah,
really friendly.
For our
you
listeners,
know?
when Mika came in,、we have another guy that、helps us sometimes. His、yeah. name's Howard.、and when they first came in, they were talking about, oh, we'll get Pro Tools on our computer and everything like that. We'll start working with that. And I was pretty adamant from、
yeah.
the beginning. I was like,、
yeah.
I was always saying, no, we should use Logic. Why
you
are
not the only one. There are people I know that would never bow down to Pro Tools.
Right.
They are like, no, it's too much work. Yeah. It shouldn't be like that. It's too complicated, you know? And they believe that, no, you know, it shouldn't be working like that.
Well, you know? What's really funny is that we started with Pro Tools, mm-hmm. and then as we kind of we're working on our own process and our own workflow mm-hmm. as a team, mm-hmm. And as individuals, because we do a lot of stuff individually as well. Mm-hmm. It just became very apparent that Pro Tools, at least for us, was not a very good fit. Mm-hmm. At least as an overall. Mm-hmm. Of course, kind of for our listeners, kind of like what Mika says, we're talking kind of a little bit more abstract in terms of software.
Yeah.
But any of these software you can actually kind of use them together.
Yeah.
And so a lot of what I've done in terms of the instrumental demos, mm-hmm. I've had to do for our albums, I would record them in Logic. But then I would save or export the files as
to
Pro Tools, and
to
then
mix.
We would mix it, and then our engineers would, or our engineer would be able to read it because he uses Pro Tools. So it's not as mm-hmm. if you're using one software, you're stuck with it like for the rest of your life. That's not the case at all.
And I will never recommend that. I would never suggest that. Oh, you should just stick with one and then just go for it and be a beast of that software, but not mm-hmm. knowing other software. That's not good too.
Yeah.
It's better to know everything, but know mm-hmm. which is your focus.
Yeah.
And once you know one DAW, one digital audio station, mm-hmm. It will be not that hard for you to go to another one to learn another one.
Yeah.
Because like I said, the concept is the same. Mm-hmm. It's just the function will be a little different in terms of how they place.
Yeah, like the organization.
Yeah, how they organize the function,
that.
You know?
Yeah.
So, and then you also, if you really want to go in depth of mm-hmm. producing, mm-hmm. then you need to decide style, what genre, mm-hmm. and what area you want to focus on. Mm-hmm. So if you want to be, like I said, if you want to be sound engineer, recording engineer, then you definitely need to go for Pro Tools, mm-hmm. because Pro Tools are built for that.
Right,
for
it's the recording industry standard.
Yeah, it's a recording industry standard, yes. But if you just want to compose mm-hmm. or produce and or just arrange and then play with sound more like sound design, then maybe you can consider Logic mm-hmm. or Ableton.
Yeah.
Because both of them are very good at that and they are built for producer and arranger to do that. Mm. So it's depend on what is your goal and what area you want to focus on.
Hmm. That's really good. It depends on what your goal is and, mm-hmm. and what you want to focus on. I think that's the key here, right? In terms of, I guess what our listeners can get out of this is as long as you have an objective, and as long as you have a focus
for how
you want to accomplish your objective, mm-hmm. You're gonna find your niche pretty easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so if you guys are curious, just go onto our website. It's going to be impactmusicstudios.wordpress.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you will be able to find, we'll talk about it at the end of this podcast as always, but you'll be able to find this article that Mika has written. And again, it's going to be a series. And so just, you know, start following us. You can sign up for our RSS feed and we can, you know, you'll be emailed or whatever anytime we post up a new
mm-hmm.
new post or blog page or whatever. And you'll be able to follow along as we talk about these different mm-hmm. steps in starting out as a producer.
Yeah.
All right, everyone, we've come to the time in our podcast, the third part of our segment, where we're going to be talking about what we're working on. And for this week, we have a new intro that we're making for mm-hmm. our Radicast podcast.
Yeah.
And so we're going to be talking about it, or you're going to be hearing it, mm-hmm. And then we're going to be talking about it. And
it's very cool.
Well, hopefully you guys like it. So here it is.
You are
And that was it.
Nice.
All right. All right. So that was the Radicast intro. That's going to be that's the rough cut of what we're going to be putting on our podcast from now on. So whenever you guys tune in to our podcast, that's what you'll be listening to.
That's so cool. I feel like we are like getting there, you know?
What do you mean?
Even like, you know how like the regular radio station, they have all this thing. Remember we were talking about it like few weeks ago, like we want to make that, and then we want to even like to have a little pad so that we can even control control different sound.
Yeah. So yeah, that's actually what for our listeners who probably aren't in the know yet, it's something that an intro is something that we always kind of wanted to do, other than the typical one that we have with Impact Music's Radical Jam albums that we have had so far. We kind of wanted to make our own intro, make it our own so far. And so for over the past couple weeks, I've been working on that little section. Again, that was what you heard was kind of a rough cut. It's going to be a little bit more mastered in the end. But hopefully you guys enjoyed that.
I enjoyed it.
I did too. I had a lot of fun making that.
Yeah, I believe
honest.
So.
I actually made it during the weeks that you were under the weather.
Yeah.
And so, you know, while you were sick, I think it was on a Thursday that you actually texted me and you said, "Hey, I can't really make it in today."
Yeah.
And I was already in the studio. And I was like, "Oh,
I lost my voice."
Right. Yeah. And so yeah, I was like, what am I gonna do? Well, I might as well work on this intro, and so kind of did all that, and and yeah.
So I have a question.
Okay.
So the part where you know you play around with different octave of voices.
Uh huh.
So you using Logic, right? I know you're a Logic person.
Yes.
So how did you do it? Maybe you can share
how
did you do that?
I can definitely share about my process behind that. For the vocal part. Let me begin with this for our listeners. We actually always wanted to do something like that. Right?
Yeah.
We always wanted to do a welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome,
yeah.
You know, kind of that kind of thing. And so I was, I recorded my own voice using our mics that we have here, and then I really mangled the voice. And so in for our listeners, if you read Mika's article, she explains what plugins and instrument tracks are and all that kind of stuff. And so in Logic, there are a couple native plugins that can transform the voice. And so one of them is called Vocal Transformer, and you can change the format of the voice. So if you have, it's a lot easier if you're a girl, and you can transform your voice to sound like a guy's. It's a lot harder the other way around. But what
so
it does
you,
do...
So it can trigger the frequency.
Yeah, well, it takes... So I recorded my voice and I chopped it up, right?
Yeah.
And I chopped it up into three different tracks. And so I basically copied and pasted each of the tracks. Copy and pasted the same track three times. And then I kind of splice it up to different parts. And so that's the part that you hear there. With a, you know, welcome. Mm-hmm. That part is basically... the same exact track, all three of them have been modified in some way. And so the first one was modified by making it lower. So, you know, I can't do it now because my actual voice isn't like that.
Yeah.
It was like, whoa, go or whatever. And so I made it really low and changed the format so it didn't sound like me anymore because no one wants to, you know, you don't want to hear a roboticized human voice, right? You want to hear a roboticized, or I want to, I guess, for this particular one. And so I changed that into a deeper one, deeper voice, lower the pitch. You can do that on the same plugin. And then for the other two, I heightened it by, I think the first one was 12 pitches, or 12 semitones, and the second was 7 semitones or something like that, or 15 semitones, something like that. And again, I changed the formants a little bit. So that's where you hear, it sounds, you know, like, you know, it sounds delayed, but it sounds like an echo almost.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the effect I was going for, but the echo is like really off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just took that. That was the thing I did with the voice. It's actually a very simple process, and the most fun I had with it was just messing with that, you know, the formant and making it sound, making myself sound really strange.
Yes.
That was really, really cool. And yeah, so that was how I did the vocals. And then for the rest of it, I have a bunch of kind of presets of synth sounds and everything like that.
And then you add on to that.
So I added those as part of the thing. And as you know, I have a C-board rise. And so that's the pitch up and pitch down that you hear. That kind of thing. So I did that because I don't know how to do it otherwise, because the pitch wheel for me seems it's not as smooth for me, and so I just so it was just easier with the with the rise.
The C-board,
And for our listeners, the C-board is a MIDI instrument,
rubber keyboard, of rubber, right?
Yeah, it has silicone.
Yeah,
keys.
Silicone, yes.
Yeah, and so it's a little bit of a different instrument. It's just one of the ones that we use to express for expressivity. There you go.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I just kind of did all that.
That's nice. I'll do that. I'll try that.
Yeah, it's really fun. You know, record your own voice and see what you can do with it. So yeah. All right, and now we've come to our fourth segment, our favorite of the week segment. And for this week, we're going to recommend an album that we've been listening to for quite a while now. It's by United Pursuit, and it's their newest album called Simple Gospel.
Yeah.
I believe it's their newest album. Maybe they came out with one this year, but this one came out in 2015.
Yeah, I believe at the end of last year. I love their album cover.
The tree and the, yes. Or the palm, is it
very
a palm
simple?
Branch?
I don't know. I just love the color.
It's very simple.
Tree. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. Really
reflects their simple gospel kind of thing. But yeah, I like it. I like it as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, what I've been listening to this album for the past several weeks, I think now, ever since, actually, I think March, now that I think about it. Or April, March or April.
You told me early April.
Okay, so early April.
You told me this album on early April.
Yeah, and it's just been such a good album, I think, for me. My past year, I've been listening mostly to Bethel's We Will Not Be Shaken, and I forgot the name of their newest one. But I've been listening to that kind of, I guess, genre. And then so... hearing United Pursuit's Simple Gospel for me was just really a really fresh, and it's something I really like about United Pursuit. I don't know if you agree, Mika, but all of their songs and all of their albums that I've listened to so far are really raw. It always feels like you're in this kind of like
room with them.
Yeah, in the room with them, right? Like, and it's not like a big concert kind of thing, where like Hillsong
and
or Bethel or Jesus Culture has it.
Isn't it they're based on life?
Yeah, a lot of their recordings, I think, at least as far as I can see, there a lot of it is based on a live setting.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very much at least this one when I mean you can see it from I think their YouTube videos and everything like that. But it looks like they actually took the recording from that night or whatever they did the concert or worship event.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they actually the music is really from there.
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know, it's kind of hard to describe. But yeah, like I don't know how much overdubbing they did because there's always.
There's always
overdubbing in these kinds of things.
But majority, I think.
Yeah, it sounds
like. In
terms
of getting the room sound, is amazing.
It's definitely there. Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, that's also another that I will be sharing later. That song.
Yeah. Kind of along those lines. And for me, I guess it's when I say raw, it also sounds like it's just in the moment for me. I think it's just such a fresh take on the genre. It literally sounds like I'm in their living room, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we just got a big crowd, big family together, and we're all worshiping God together.
Yeah.
And so two songs that we're picking out, Let It Happen, and From the Head to the Heart, and both of these songs in this album. And Mika chose Let It Happen. So Mika, why don't you talk about how this song affected you and everything?
Okay,
like
so
that.
When I first heard it is when you were running, you were starting to set up for the Encounter Night.
Oh, okay.
So you were just randomly playing songs from the playlist that you like, probably. So, and then I remember asking you, who is that? Is that Bethel Hilson? And then you say, no, it's called United Pursuit, right? And then I was like, oh, let me check it out. Because, and then I realized the first thing that it attracts my attention is, you know, remember when it starts, there's a very clear sound of the string.
Okay, the cello.
That is whatever. I mean, I don't know what exactly he was doing, but but according to you, it was harmonic. The harmonic thing that he was doing is very light and then it's very pure.
I don't know if that was at the beginning. I don't remember. But
the sound, in the beginning, yes. Mm-hmm. You will hear there's like scratching, scratching string sound. Mm-hmm. It's very subtle. Uh-huh. And then the second thing that I realized is the room sound that you were referring just now. Mm-hmm. It's like the vibe, everything was so on point.
Uh-huh.
So, and then, you know, like, because always, whenever I hear a new song, I always listen to the sound first. Mm-hmm. And then I go into the lyrics or later, you know. Uh-huh. So I already start to have that interest. So I keep listening again, and it's like I really like how they build up. As it starts with very clear string, very subtle string sound, and then they build up with piano, and then with a vocal, with the lead vocals, and then later when they build up, they have the background guitar lead, background melodic line to support the song. And I think that's genius. And like you said, I really like how they record it live. I wish like one day we should definitely do that for our Impact team to create that live.
Yeah, that'll definitely live sound, be really, really cool too.
The room sound that we were able to capture that. I think that would be so cool.
Yeah, I think Let It Happen was, I believe, the second song that I listened to in this album.
Mm-hmm.
My first exposure to this album was during a worship event, and it wasn't with United Pursuit. It was it was Brian and Katie Torval, and they led Simple Gospel, and like the lyrics affected me so much. I was like, "What is this song?" You know. And so I looked it up, and it was Simple Gospel. And so I started listening to it, and then I listened to Let It Happen. Now I'm usually the other way around, I guess.
Yeah.
I go to the lyrics first and then the music.
Yeah, I realized that.
And then so just the simplicity of their lyrics is but like the, I guess the meaning behind their lyrics is so powerful.
Yeah.
You know, and so the first two lines are you're full of life now, you're full of passion, right? It's how he made you, just let it happen, right? So first four lines, sorry. And it was just, and they just kept repeating that, right?
Yeah.
And it's just, there's so much meaning behind that, you know? You're like, it's, I guess at that point I was starting to get into more busy kind of mode in my life, I guess. And I was getting really, really busy. And just hearing that, those lyrics, like, you're full of life now, you're full of passion, it's how he made you, just let it happen.
Yeah, right? Let it happen.
Not make it happen, right? Not you have to do things for it to happen, just let it happen, right? And it was just so, it affected me so much. It was like, just suddenly, like, everything coalesced in my mind, in my heart. And it was just like, hearing that, like, wow, yeah, it's true. He's inside me now. God is inside me now. And he's the one that's full of life, and he's inside me now, right? And he's full of passion, and he's inside me now. It's just letting it happen, right? And it's so amazing, right? And then at the end of the song, it goes, take me back to the beginning when I was young, running in the fields with you. And it's just, the journey of the song goes from someone who's speaking to a child to the perspective of that child, right, of God, and just going that transition into that that thing, and it's just like, wow, it's like the interaction. It's like lyrically, it's like the interaction between Holy Spirit and us, how He's telling us, He's encouraging us and reassuring us and prophesying over us. You know, I'm with you. Let's do this thing. You know, and then the explosion of our hearts, which is, oh yeah, let's go back to that first love. Come back with
very him. Interesting yeah. Because I was about to add on to how you felt about lyrics is that when I finally get into the steps of listening to the lyric, it also impact me probably the same way as how you felt, because I realized like it's kind of like telling me that how before I kind of stopped really involved in church, and then I came back, it's that where God just lifted me up, like right at the moment. So like we're just the part of the lyrics is like come alive. It's keep repeating that word again, come alive, come alive, right?
Yeah.
So it's the same thing for me. It's really speak to me in a way that God just lifting up, lift me up. Yeah. In that moment, and then I just come alive. And then it built up, you know, later it's like, oh, now you're full of life, you're full of passion, and you just let it happen, you know. You don't there's nothing that will stop you from having that moment anymore. and then it goes on, like take me back to the beginning, where like you said, it's like the first love, where we found Jesus. We have a sense of how Jesus Christ love for us, what does it feel like, and then so it's like a reminder for us to always remember the first love that we have toward Jesus Christ.
So good. The second song is the one that I recommend is called Head to the Heart. It's the first track on this album, and my I guess whole take was this. I listened to this song right after Let It Happen. Somehow it got, I think it was like a YouTube playlist or something like that, and so like they mixed up the order, or maybe it was like on shuffle or something like that, and it came right afterwards. And again, you know, lyrics are first, like pop into my head the first thing, right? And it was a perfect fit because it was like almost my response to what I just sang in Let It Happen, because it starts with I open up my heart, or I open up to you, this love that makes me new. Oh, may my heart receive this love that carries me, right? And it's that immediate of, God's love is the thing that carries me, you know, in spite of everything. I mean, we were just having a discussion about, you know, where to put our trust in and everything like that. And so it was definitely reflective of that. And then the chorus is very, very blunt, but it's so effective. It says, from the head to the heart, you take me on a journey of letting go and getting lost in you. It's so blunt. It's so like
straightforward.
Straightforward. And I guess when I think of lyrics, I'm always thinking of like, oh man, like, is there meaning behind this? Like, how subtle do I have to hide certain things? But this one's so straightforward, yet it's so effective. And I don't know if you want to go into the musicality of it, or the instrumentation of it, but just it's talking about from the head, from our heads, our reasoning, but the goal is to go to the heart, right? God is taking us on this journey of surrender. You know, that's the simple gospel. You know, it's not, you know, I mean, yes, of course, grace is there, mercy is there, but that is all, part of that is contingent on us letting go of our worries, our fears, of who we think we are, of what we want to achieve even, in a sense, and just letting go and, you know, letting God, you know, come in. So that's definitely the second song I recommend.
I would definitely start, you know, getting into more deep with this song.
It's really, really good meditation. So we encourage you guys, go listen to it.
Yay.